ji da din ye ma yin de ji de da ba ji nyang de den no ni shu a ji ji yang di ko la ma ka ji go sa no ta sha ko me se ji kham dang mu ya ma de ba yin de sa ma ta sha ma de ba yang gui ba de ba wa ji da ba jang ma se ji de da ba chen bo la ma ma gu ngi da da din dan zeng yi wa ri de yang yin gui wa ma ri da ba jang yi de sen de so yang da ma sa na xin yang da ma sa na xin yang jang du na ma si tu ten sa yin na ojiga ji ngo su kinzo karamba na ya ama ama la ten ni kama kama ya dugu gu yu ari o da tin de yin ba yin du chi chi la ten gu ya chi chi la gu gu ya chi 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 la ngi wa de ngo de dugu ji ji re ma ta de ta ba chang ma se ji ji ka chang chang ta ba chen bo na ma gu ya tin de yin bi wa ma re o ji da yin ma ka ji ga sam ni na la ta ba chang ni de no la nya ne ji wa yin na thak chen dra tin din ni thak chen gu gu ma re song ni yang thak chen bu ji nyam ne ji wa ye na thak wa chang bu di gu gu ma ri sam bu sam lo di o da non tri yin di ni.
Now, although we make the distinction between the greater vehicle and the lesser vehicle, at no time should we see these two as being enemies or contradicting to each other. We just have to understand that these divisions or these classifications, technical classifications, have come about because, of course, each sentient being has a different mind, has different aspirations, has different capacities. So according to one's capacities, one would be able to think in a different way, to practice in a different way. And we know that thing from the usual example of the stages of our education. You know that when you go through education, you cannot just jump into, let's say, the highest level of education. Instead, you go gradually. You start with primary education, then you go to the secondary, and eventually you go to the higher education. And there is this particular order that has to be followed. Every year you have to master a number of subjects. You have to have your exam. You have to pass your exam. And after you pass that, then you are allowed to join the class in the next year. And this is how you gradually graduate and move along your education. This is how you develop your qualities and your qualifications. So a similar thing absolutely applies here into your Dharma development. When we say that one will become a practitioner of the great vehicle, it is understood that one has to start, let's say, some basic practices and gradually move along, gradually develop all those things to this great degree. So let's say that there is no practice to be considered too small, too little, too insignificant, to be scorned, you know, or to be jumped, right? To be eliminated from one's curriculum. One needs to understand that one moves along as if one was moving along the steps of a ladder, let's say. So you cannot skip any of those steps. It will be a great fault for a practitioner of the greater vehicle to look at the practices of the lesser vehicle and look at those as being too simple, too superficial, and something that does not need to be practiced or studied or looked at. And again, there are some practitioners of the lesser vehicle who look at the great vehicle and they see it almost as the enemy. This type of thinking is the wrong type of thinking. Both vehicles, they need to depend upon each other. And for our development, our practices, we need to take things gradually and to learn to depend and rely on various things.
lamrim la jeba yina yon lamrim la jiwe changi chukur nengu chukur chenbu chukur de sim sanyang gu yuwari de la yon jiwe men da zangu chani jiwe changi dan tamo yi lamrim dren dan tamo yi lamrim si chong dren niga la tamo wa si jiti jiwe chenbu la niwari de mara guya di mara kinza ka rinba tangbo dan niwa na yin oma gu jitin tangbo dan jitin niwa si jiti na yin gu tamo la guya ji yinba yin
Now, And also, if we look within the Lam Rim, the structure of that text, usually we talk about the three scopes, right? The small, the middle, and the great scope. But the full name of those scopes is paths that are shared with the small scope, paths that are shared with the middle scope, and paths of the great vehicle. And the etymology, the names on the self itself, indicates that the whole progress, the whole Lam Rim, of course, comes in stages. It's a path which comes in stages, and one moves along the steps, one step at a time. So it's not that some of those practices are to be discarded and so forth. They might be straight from the beginning, but still they're very important, like the first step of the ladder.
มะซึมระเซมกึจินติมะจิจินกวาทองเมนิตันนิซองจิเสวาติมันโรยากึจินเชียเมงิจินบิวาระวาตินดากึเซมกึจินติจิกะตมะตังจิวะกุนิตะเยนรุกุยวาริติเตงกะตมะอะมะจ้วนติมะจิกะญาเมจิวะกุนิตมะอะมะจ้วนติญอระตองกะตองกะ
So all this explanation was related to the words great vehicle that we find within the title of the text. And then we look at the other word, the word continuum. The word continuum actually refers to one's mental continuum, this continuity of consciousness that existed since beginningless time and will continue for a very long time. Although right now we might see that our minds and our mental continuum is stained by different afflictions, and although we might see certain faults, at the same time we need to understand that this continuum is progressing. It's something which is dynamic. And through this progress, eventually through our practice of Dharma, we will be able to eliminate those faults. We will be able to remove those stains. And eventually at the end of the path, we will reach this point where transformation is complete and we have this stainless continuum. So we talk about the mental continuum, we talk about a mind that right now possesses stain, but nevertheless we talk about a mind that has the potential for a change. And this change, this removal of the set of stains and faults, is something that will happen gradually. We mentioned prior the three scopes of the Lam Rim, and also we mentioned the three levels of education. So we need to understand that when you start as a beginner, what you do is you deal with those afflictions or the stains of the mind at a gross level. When you progress a little bit along the path, the more you remove the gross, the obvious ones, you come to the point where you can look at them in a more extensive way, in a more detailed way. And again, you'll have to go a bit further, to go much deeper and look at those things in great detail in order to eliminate all the faults, all the negativity. The word sublime that we find here, sublime, translated as lame, something which is unsurpassable, something that is you know, really the peaks, nothing can go above that. And of course this refers to our view, the development of our view. As we said, we always need to examine things in terms of contact and view. And when we talk about view, we talk about view that is presented in different schools. And we say how gradually the view of the self or the I is refined. And eventually this, let's say the supreme view, the sublime view, is the view that we find in the middle way consequence school. So this sublime there is an indication of the view.
And
as we say, you know, this transformation of the mind, this elimination of negativity, of this elimination of this collection of negativity and affliction will happen through relying on the practice of Dharma.
ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့သင်္ကေတနှုန်းတဲ့တင်တဲ့ကြည်ကြည်တဲ့မြစ်ကြည်ဆောက်တဲ့သံကျင်နှုန်းညွှန်တဲ့ပတ်တမ်းကြည်လာဆောင်သွားလို့စကြည်တဲ့ဒီလောက်စံတရှိရှိမကွေးပါကြည်လို့သတ်ပြီးတန်းကြည်ဆောက်တော့တတိယဟောနေဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့သဘောကျင်ဖို့ကြည်လာမိတန်ကျူလူနာမြောက်စင်ဟန်တာဟိုတဲ့ဂျူရှာတီနင့်တော်ကိုဒွန်းနော်ဒီဒါလေးပဲတူရင်လည်းနေနေကြည်ကိုကြည်ပါရည်ဒီကံကွယ်ကိုဂျူရှာလူကြည ຈັ່ງຍົນເດຊອງຈິນຕະນີທໍາມະດີຕັນຈຸກັນຕັນຈຸກັນຈິລິນັນດຸດີນະດຸດີຍະນະນິດັນດະດາກໍຊໂລກາຈິບໍດີວະດາຊອງຊອງຈິຈຸນຊາວະຊິດຊອງຈິກົມຈາຈຸກົມຈາກິນດະກົມຈາດີຊອງຈິນຊອງກິນດະກົມຈາດີວະດາກົມຈາວະສັນເດຈີດຸດີນິດັນກະນານີທໍາບໍຍິວາສັນບາສັນວະດາຕະນີຄໍາດີວາຈາບາຍຽນບໍ
So this text, which is actually a treatise, is the one that will present us this gradual elimination of all the negativity of the mind. So having gone through the homage of the translator, we enter the part of the text which comes under the headline Principles of the Body of the Text. Within the principles of the body of the text, we have the presentation of the seven Vajra categories. The seven Vajra categories are the seven main points that are discussed, that are presented in this text. And the first verse of the text presents those seven Vajra categories and says Buddha, Dharma, Assembly, Potential, Enlightenment, Qualities, and the enlightened activity of Buddha. The last four are causes of the first three. So first of all, we have Buddha, Dharma, and Assembly, the three jewels. And after that, number four is potential. Potential refers to this special capacity, this special ability of the mind, the Buddha nature that we possess within our minds, this possibility, this potential for transformation.
ဟောဒီတဲ့ဒီနေ့ရင်ရင်သူတဲ့ဒုတိယနေ့နံပါတ်9တဲ့နေ့တော်ဘုရားကြီးတဲ့နေ့ဓမ္မစံဘုဒ္ဓေဆောင်ချုပ်စီစေကျွတ်ကြီးဟောတဲ့ဆောင်ချုပ်တော်တဲ့ဒီနေ့ဒါဒီနေ့ငါပါကြီးယွန်တဲ့ဒီနေ့တူပါကြီးဒါဆောင်ချုပ်ကထန်လီဒီပန်ထန်လီစေကျွတ်တဲ့နေ့ဓမ္မကြီးရင်ပါရင်သူဒါဒီတံဘုဒ္ဓေဟိုကြီးတော့ဘာကျင်ဘုကြီးလာမီတန်ချုပ်ကိုဒါဂျိုချီငင်ဘုံတော်ကိုတုံစင်း yodi live tambo na ten bewari. Oda deni live nyuana oji chan chuk live di ten bewari. Live tamba dina yonde gileva. Yuva din tani gileva. Then tamatana peon gileva in a chiji. Oda dina jimar son yodim.
So we have already explained the first four, we have mentioned actually the first four of those seven categories. The fifth one is enlightenment, the sixth one is qualities, the seventh one is the enlightened activity of the Buddha. So Actually, as I say, this particular text has five chapters. In the first chapter, we have the presentation of Buddha, Dharma, Assembly, and Potential. So the first four categories are within the first chapter. And then each one of the remaining, let's say, categories has its own chapter. So chapter two is dealing with enlightenment, chapter three is dealing with qualities, and chapter four is dealing with enlightened activity of the Buddha. Actually, there's a fifth chapter which is dealing with, let's say, qualities and benefits and so forth.
我觉得今天也没人家在读经你怎么的日日啦我觉得观众把当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当当
and the assembly, we see that they are presented in two levels, the relative and the ultimate. So when we will be talking about the Buddha jewel, we will talk about the ultimate Buddha jewel and the relative Buddha jewel. When we talk about the Dharma jewel, again, we will look at it in two levels, the ultimate Dharma jewel and the relative Dharma jewel. And when we look at the assembly, the Sangha jewel, again, we will look at this from the point of view of ultimate Sangha jewel and relative Sangha jewel.
ဟုတ်ကြည့်တဲ့ဒီနေ့ရင်ပဲဒါတို့သံရိရှိရရင်ဟောကြည့်ဒါဟောကြည့်ဆောင်းကြီးတော်ဟောကြည့်ဆောင်းကြီးကွန်တော်ကြည့်ကွန်တော်ကင်တော်ကွန်တော်စံဘိုးဒီဟောဒါကွန်တော်ပါစံဘိုးဒီပြန်ကြည့်သဘာစံကွန်ညတူတဲ့ကြွန်ပါရောင်ကြည့်တဲ့ကြွန်ပါဟောဒါဒီဆိုမာရကြည့်ဒါဆောင်းကြီးကွန်တော်ပါကွန်တော်ပါဒါဆောင်းကြီးရောင်မာရကြည့်ကွန်တော်ပါဆောင်းကြီးစကြည့်ဒီသဘာဒီတော်လာကြောင်းကြီး ဟုတ်ကြည့်ဒါချူစကြည့်ဒီဆောင်ရပ်ကကြည့်တန်ချူကမင်းသူရေကြည့်ရောင်ချင်းကြည့်ကြူရှိကသုကချူဒီကွန်တော်ပချူရင်တင်ကြီးဟုတ်ကြည့်တောင်းတမ်းပချူတင်ကိုကိုတဲ့တောင်းတမ်းတင်ရင်ဘောင်လမ်းကကြည့်ကြည့်ကိုတဲ့တောင်းတမ်းတင်ရင်တင်ဒါတော့တောင်းတမ်းဆောင်ကြည့်စကြည့်ဒီဟုတ်ကြည့်ကျောင်းကစီရောင်တဲ့ကနေကဆောင်ကြည့်ကြည့်ကြည့်တပတ်ချင်းဘူးတပတ်ချင်းဘူးတပတ်ချင်းဘူးဒါချင်းစင်တန်တဲ
So just to give you a brief idea of what we mean by the ultimate and the relative with each one of the jewels. First of all, when we talk about the Buddha jewel, we can talk about arhats, which are of the level or of the vehicle of hearers and solitary realizers. They're not real Buddhas, so they're called the relative Buddha jewel. The ultimate Buddha jewel is an arhat of the great vehicle. When we look at the Dharma jewel, again, we can look at it in the two levels. If we talk about text, if we talk about printed words of Dharma and so forth, then this, of course, represents the relative Dharma jewel. But when we talk about the truth of cessation and the truth of the path, this is the ultimate Dharma jewel. When it comes into the assembly, the Sangha, when we talk about arhats, which are hearers or solitary realizers, they fall within the category of relative Sangha jewel. And when we talk about arhats of the great vehicle, they fall into the category of the ultimate Sangha jewel.
Kunzo ジンジルジンジルジルダ、ランジェンニルグセジダ、メテンダニヤングユワ。ダジンジルジル、サムコランディ、タマダジディ、ダドヴェニカズ、タマダジディユワ、ヤンドゥティクンドヴェ、カムダン。オダサンジテングチュニア、サムランジェンジルビトワム、サムデビトワム、サンジテングニルグタルキュニアディ、オジュダランジェンニルアム、ダドンダンブンカミンディニ。
I just realized I made a slip of the tongue. When I was talking about assembling, I talked about hearers and solitary realizers, which are arhats. They're not arhats, they're aryas, right? And the same thing with the great vehicle. They're aryas of the great vehicle. When we talk about sangha, it comes to the level of aryas. Now we move into the next category, which is potential. Again, potential can be presented in two levels, the ultimate and the relative. Yesterday, very briefly, we mentioned two terms. We talked about the essential potential and we talked about the changing potential, right? The developing potential. When we talk about this developing potential, or this developing nature, we're actually talking about the relative potential. But when we talk about the ultimate potential, then we have to talk about suchness or emptiness, which is the essential quality of the mind. Therefore, the ultimate potential refers to not to the transforming one, not to the changing one, but to the essential one. Now, when we look into enlightenment, again, we can make the distinction between the ultimate and the relative. So here we're looking at the two bodies of the Buddha. The Dharma body represents ultimate enlightenment, and the form body of the Buddha represents the relative enlightenment. Now, when it comes to qualities, actually, our text gives us a list of various qualities. Anyway, there's no time to go through the whole list. It's actually 31 qualities that are classified as ultimate qualities and 31 that are classified as relative, equal number. Now, when we come to enlightened activities, again, we have to look at the five types of primordial awareness. These five types of primordial awareness are actually the ultimate enlightened activities. And as for the action of teaching and giving explanation, this is the relative enlightened activity. Alright, so we stop the presentation of the text here. And if you have any questions of anything that was covered yesterday or today, feel free to ask questions. And Rinpoche will try to give an answer to each one of those.
relative and ultimate. Could you repeat again what it was? I don't think I heard it right.
The Buddha chose. You're talking about arhats? Arhats, when it's Buddha chose, yeah, it's arhats. Either heroes and solitary realizers or great vehicle. Yeah.
And they're also the Sangha jewels?
The Sangha jewels are these Aryas. Yeah.
So the Buddha jewel was not Buddhist?
The Buddha jewel was not.
It was Arhat, it was not Buddhist?
Are you talking about the Buddha himself?
In the Buddha jewel, the relative ultimate, the definition was arhat? We use this term arhat, right? But if you talk about a hearer or a solitary realizer, arhat, although we call them an arhat, we call them a foe destroyer, they are not finished eliminating all of their enemies, all of their foes, right? They have the title, but they're not the actual thing. When you talk about an arhat or the great vehicle, this is the ultimate Buddha jewel because he has eliminated completely all the enemies. So in this way, we classify one as being the relative, which are hearers and solitary realizers, arhats, and the other one as being the ultimate. And again here, when we talk about the enemy that needs to be eliminated, that is seen at two levels. One is obscuration, one is knowledge obscuration, and the other one is afflictive obscuration. So hearers and solitary realizers, arhats, have eliminated the afflictive obscurations, but not the knowledge obscurations.
There was this particular group which was called the Nemapuas. I know there is a Sanskrit word for it, but I cannot remember it. So the Nimbabuas actually approached the Buddha and they asked, does the self exist or not? And they were the particular group that got the answer that yes, the self exists. It was very important for them because they thought that if there was no self, if one were to negate the existence of the self, one would lose this concept of virtue and non-virtue, who was establishing virtue or not. So to them, the teaching that the self exists was given, but it has to be taken as being an interpretative teaching.
Maitreya appearing as a dog, and I wonder if there are two versions of the story. Yeah, much like is that the Papa Tome ki Namtar tensu Shuvi Kavla, Papa Tome Lochuni Lata, Tsanga Dene, Tatama Dena, the Gumbu Chambe ki, Mushuja Oresa, Mushuja with Kavla, Tambu Tambu, who the Papa Tome Karikare Seores. Chi chik siwa riwe ziyame na di pangu jimen pangu chik siwa riasa. Kari na wa riasa?
Aari, kari ri di injing I di jingchi wa ri di.
Guwe tsum. Jinten champa. Mo tsumai guwe tsum. Nang di. Nang di jimen guwa ri zang. Chila guwa ri tsum.
Aari, wano jika siya. Siya kung gu chi. Yewa ri tiki pita si iku yu sa riwa. Aari da di nyi wa riwa. Chik kari ri si. So, Karisago Rosena, the Chimu, so the Chimu, when you under you deem. Made the Bogomer, Mazagina, the Chimu, the meeting, that in the Jesu.
Right, so there's a lot of discussion of that. Or, you know, what was the body that had all these wounds and was infected by the maggots? And Rupert was saying, yeah, probably it was. It looked like the body of the dog. It was a female dog, though. That had all the wounds on it, and there are different ways of interpreting and understanding that. The light over there.
With the concept of emptiness versus the concept of negating self, I'm understanding them as two separate concepts and both complex. Is the view that they are two separate concepts, or are they very similar and go hand in hand? And is there some sort of summary you can give us both, or are they the same?
So your question is about emptiness and the negation of the self, whether they are two separate things, or whether they can be combined, or whether they are the same thing, right? Namachela di morantinte shugidu ta tomba ni seria di ta ta me seria di ta wa ni rues ta wa chik rues kari resa.
Hey, that is the main that on the memory of a need to the very much. Don't know the number said it's going to be very tough. Don't miss the other. Don't buy you see you. Don't miss it in a to seven is some million city meeting. Million me to Mandela chicken money, Mystic. You are it. Oh, that in the end, don't buy you said in a stone city to the stone with Tom Mandela. The stone city message you love putting you on the Sammy Mandini. What you that energy?
although we use two different terms or two different names, it's actually the meaning of those two boils down to the same thing. So emptiness and selflessness, they actually refer to the same thing. And again, when we talk about selflessness, when we negate this, the existence of the self, it's not that we completely negate any existence of the self. It is one particular way, let's say misunderstood way of the self that we try to negate.
Of the potential, not the relative, would that be realized at the last moment of a path of no more learning, or would it be realized before?
Okay, so you're asking about the ultimate potential and whether that will be realized at the end of the path of no more learning or prior to that. So we talk about potential, and again we make this distinction between the ultimate and the relative. In other words, what we talk about is, we talk about the mind and the emptiness of that mind. The emptiness of that mind is what we call the ultimate potential. And the important thing here to understand is that, in a sense, there is no point in asking when am I going to comprehend or realize the ultimate potential? Because this ultimate potential has actually existed there since beginningless time. As long as the mind exists, the emptiness of that mind also exists. But of course, emptiness is a subject which is very difficult to be understood, to be comprehended. And all our efforts should be directed towards that point of comprehending emptiness. And the more we approach that subject, the more we understand it, the more we remove stains from our own minds.
Yesterday, Rinpoche was talking about the five paths and continuing to abandon the different obscurations in the five paths. Rinpoche made a comment about to allow one's method to influence one's wisdom, and to allow one's wisdom to influence one's method, and they enhance and strengthen each other. Could Rinpoche please give us some advice on how we can do this in our life, to have our method and wisdom enhance and strengthen each other?
Right, so you mean your ordinary life, or you mean your practice?
In our life, in our practice, like what? How do we do this?
Tanguji singi. Yang tanggung guni, jiwa dat, tanggung guni, tombai ni ko samlong la jiwa tanga da, jiwa da, garisi ko tabji nyamne kong jiwa di, nisir sozo la tu ni tibari ma tang ma tuwa tibi tang dingi ri sena da. O jiwa da, jiwa kursam sidi na, shir, jiwa nyamne jingi ko shiba wo tang, jiwa nyamne, जी सेवा दान जी वा शशि लिसन बोते रोजिन जी टिबि तंबारी न्याम सामलो तां जगा येना शरब जी न्याम ने को पर्सन दी युदी
Now, for example, Rinpoche says, if you are sitting down to meditate, you know that in the beginning of the session, it is very important to establish a good motivation. So let's say that your main session will be spent contemplating emptiness. So it's important in the beginning to establish bodhicitta as being your motivation. By establishing bodhicitta, which is the aspect of our method, when you come into the main part of your session, which will be your meditation on emptiness, we understand that this initial motivation actually influences this meditation on emptiness. So this is an example of how method actually influences the aspect of wisdom, which is this meditation of emptiness. And of course, you know, this understanding of emptiness also can go back and strengthen one's development of method. So let's say, for example, you want to engage in different activities which fall in the category of method. It is quite important in the beginning to have a short meditation or contemplation on emptiness. And to understand that all the activities and all the results that will come from those activities do not exist on their own, that they depend on each other, they depend on causes and conditions and so forth. Now, very often we talk about going through this contemplation of the three rounds of activities. So you have to understand that yourself, which is the practitioner, that the practice itself, and that all the actions related to that are empty of inherent existence. And in this way, you know, you can allow the wisdom to influence your practice of method. When we talk about sutric practices, this influence of method and wisdom happens like this. So you have the mind and you have the object of the mind, and one can interact with you have different minds at different times. One is prior, the other one is later. But when we come into the practice of Tantra, it is said that both of those aspects are generated on one single mind. So it's a bit different.
Mentioned about the relative and ultimate Dharma jewel, and I'm just wondering, sometimes when we talk about the Dharma jewel, we mean true paths and true cessations. True paths are relative truths, true cessations are ultimate truths. So I'm wondering why aren't they called the relative and ultimate Dharma jewel?
Okay, so I'm just repeating this question. It was having to do with the Dharma jewel, and we talk about true path and true cessations being categorized as the ultimate Dharma jewel. But then again, when we look at those two, true paths are usually categorized as relative, and true cessations are categorized as the ultimate. Rimuchina chue concho kavla naranso dun tambe chue concho yarwa tena la kong lang tang mare kong
di ngoden dan la
ngoden dan lamden ni yores chitan di lamden di kunso res goden di dun tambe res yina yan te kavla ni ka dun tambe sege yores karena
ori da di yongji mare Nitin ရောင်းကြပါတဲ့တန်ကြပါတဲ့စုတမင်းတို့သရမံကြပါယူပါတယ်။ရင်တဲ့ရင်ပိုင်းမကျင်တဲ့ကောင်တို့ရှိနေ။ဟောဒီတန်တော်ကခေါင်းကဆောင်အောင်ရ။ဟောဒီတန်ကောင်တဲ့တီတောင်းတဲ့ပိုင်းရင်ပန်ဒုံကြီးကြည့်တော်မပန်ဒုံကြီးညီရောင်းယူပါတယ်။ဒုံကြီးတီလီလောင်ကောင်တဲ့တောင်းတဲ့ပိုင်းရ။ဟောဒီနမ်တဲ့တီကွန်ဇိုပယန်စီရောင်းတော်စီကိုရှိသဝိကျင်းတဲ့တင်တဲ့ရင်တင်း။ထိုလူချင်းတဲ့ညီကဆက်
let's say, without going into too much detail, you could take the true path and the true cessation, categorize both of them as being ultimate truth. But then if you start analyzing and going deeper into that, and if you start looking at the presentations of each one of the schools, in particular the two sub-schools that we have in the Middle Way School, then you will find that there are different presentations of exactly what is ultimate and what is relative. So the deeper we go, the more we will differentiate those. And of course we come at the point where it is one, the true paths are categorized as being relative truth, and truth cessation is categorized as being ultimate. Here, let's say, is a rough presentation. So they're both grouped together.
I have a question in regards to the title. Seems we define sublime as uttara. My understanding is it refers to the highest explanation of the five books of Maitreya, presenting emptiness in an increasingly subtle presentation. We said this was a middle way consequence presentation, but Asang is known as a mind-only writer. So I'm wondering if Rinpoche can clarify for me which school we're presenting this from, whether it's mind-only or consequence.
Naroso tawa ki gona di lamares. Ya tawa di sensam pe tawa rewes, umma pe tawa rewes. Karizana di pawa tume ko sensam va, imba yansan di, di pecha di sensam pe tawa rewes karizas.
Yuri, dadi ngi karizse goi. Shubu goni ishiwa chidan, koma si jidi, lama si jidi, koma si jidi kogiwa. Koma da oma ni si jidi, shubu goni shiwa chid, tabu goni shiwa chid. Ni ta kongumar shiwa di, tabu goni shiwa yana, paba dhammi di, samzambu, tabu sur shiwa re di, koronya, samzambu yungi wa marwa, oma tanjiwa yungi. Oma tanjiwa yungi yungi, samzambu jidu zongo chidu, kudan chunya namji dan,
Well, I'm just looking at this particular word, the word lama, which means the highest, right? When you make this distinction between, you know, the highest, something which is, you know, cannot be surpassed, right, the sublime. It means, of course, that you make this categorization between something which is lower than that and something which is the ultimate, the supreme, higher up. And, of course, this distinction can be done in two levels. It can be done from the point of view of contact. It can be done from the point of view of view itself, right, contact and view. And although we say that Arya Asanga was actually, he presented the mind-only school, this particular view, you have to understand that in this particular case, he was writing down a text, right? A text composed by Arya Maitreya. And the Buddha himself, it's understood, he gave the ultimate view, the finest view. So the view that we find in this text will be the ultimate, the sublime view.